Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red robin comes bobbing along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy, what if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
It was going to be a miserable Yuletide, but when you wish upon a star, sometimes dreams come too. Welcome to Cheltenham Live. It's a Christmas special. Good evening to you, and welcome to Cheltenham Live. As I said, it's a Christmas special. Merry Christmas, one and all, to all of our listeners. In this evening's show, we're going to be looking back at a quite remarkable game over in West London yesterday as the Addicts grabbed the latest of late points thanks to a goal from Naby Sarr in the dying embers. Later on in the show, we'll have a quiz as well to celebrate the Christmas time. On my right-hand side, we have Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good, thanks. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, and to you in the middle, Nathan. Right,
yeah, living the dream
as always.
Throat's a bit croaky, but yeah,
yeah, not surprised after what we're about to hear. More on that in a minute. Terry Smith is here, looking very festive in your shirt. Terry,
I'm still reeling over the wish upon a star stunt.
Yeah, that was a great gag. Yeah, I'm gonna have to get you closer to a microphone if you want to be
Merry
honest.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, there we go. And also joining us here on my left hand side is Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, good to see you. All right, do you enjoy the game yesterday?
Yeah, just about, in the end.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, before we go into the highlights then, just quickly, Nath, yesterday's game, it was a special one, in the end.
Yeah, I mean, the first half hour was pretty dire, to be fair. And Greg was saying in comms, it was similar sort of feeling to sort of Borough, where we didn't really have much to sort of cheer about, really. And Ben Purriton come off, which I think was the right decision because it just gave us that little bit more stability at the back and it gave us a bit of a platform. Albie coming on changed the game. And then, yeah, we was in the ascendancy first half and then second half come out. I thought we played really well. And then, yeah, Naby just uses his techers and then obviously finishes. So, yeah, it was a mental day, but it was a good one as well. But, yeah, I mean, all the... I'm sure everyone else thinks it, but the highlights were quite emotional
too. Yeah, we're going to hear the highlights in a second, so we'll know exactly what Benji was doing when what Nathan was doing when that goal went in. But Benji, I mean, you were in that away end. From where I was sitting, it looked like absolute chaos in there, bodies flying everywhere. What was it like in that dying stage when Naby Sarr planted the ball beyond Lumley?
Yeah, I guess a bit of disbelief, because at the moment it keeps happening against us. And yeah, it was only a draw, but that'll give us big belief now going into these next few games. They'll come along thick and fast, and it gives us an extra thing to say, look, we can ride out a draw there. And yeah, fair play to Boyer for changing it in the last few minutes. I know a few eyebrows were raised when Nari got pushed up front, but he took his chance, brilliant, and that's 2-2 for him now. So
prolific goal scorer, Naby Sarr. Right then, let's have a listen to the highlights. Your commentators over on Valley Pass were Nathan Miller and Greg Stubley.
QPR have the free kick. Jeze goes across to take. Swings it in. It's a decent looking delivery, and Sarr gets something on it. Comes down, it's a shot, and it's a goal from Jeff Cameron. Charlton didn't deal with a free kick at all. Sarr's clearance just comes down to Cameron, whose first time shot goes into an empty net.
Well, poor, you know, you want to try and cut out the errors, but I mean, he's got to do better with that clearance, Naby, for me.
Teze in acres of space on this right-hand side for QPR. Sarr comes across. It's a crossing opportunity for Eze. Crosses towards the back post. Hugo heads down. It's a chance and it's off the bar. A wasted opportunity for Naki Wells, who really should have scored. Toe pokes it back to Perrington. Oh, it's a terrible clearance. It's in Naki Wells. One-on-one with Dylan Phillips. Wells one-on-one with the goalkeeper. What a save from Dylan Phillips.
Get in there
to keep Charlton in this game.
Get in there.
And a huge let-off.
Plays into Lyle Taylor, flag stays down. Can Taylor plays it inside to Conor Gallagher? Can he get a great shot touch off? Can he has a shot? He shoots. It's a shot.
Chance save for the
and
goalkeeper.
The goalie saved it. Bond tried to flick it on, but the goalie's picked it up again. But it's a little bit more positive from Charlton with the pressing.
Half, considering Charlton were dismal, it has to be said, for the first 25, 30 minutes. We'll go into half time thinking they should be.
Gallagher needs to beat that first man in Grant Hall. He does, he goes deeper where Lockyer's at the back and it's cleared by Naki Wells, but it falls, there'll be more goals!
Yes, it's it!
Come on! Lyle Taylor, I think it did come off Lyle Taylor. The shot was done by Albie Morgan, it's ended up in, I don't know if it's Lyle.
It's Lyle's goal, I think. Morgan's shot definitely took a deflection on the way. It looked like Taylor, the home fans are bouncing, the away fans, should I say, are bouncing. It's the goal that they treasured. They weren't good in the first half, Charlton. Haven't been pretty, but they started to win a few more battles in this second half. And we did say it, Nath. We did say there was a goal in this game. Morgan with a shot. Great shot. And Taylor, lovely little flick. Watching it back. Deliberate flick. I called it a deflection, but that's not. That's a deliberate little flick. Morgan, what a great shot. Kept it low, hard, goal bound. And that's what you get. So Samuel just trying to turn Pierce, who holds him up. But Pierce slips. And so Samuel on the penalty here, held up by Gallagher. And still with it. Shooting chance for Samuel. Ball across. Goal. And it's a goal for Pugh. Say Samuel.
Charlton's a danger.
Turning Charlton inside out. Bowl across goal and Pugh couldn't miss. And QPR go back ahead.
Gallagher swings it in towards the far post. It's towards the back. Lockyer heads it back in. Taylor off the ball. Ricochets down and Lumley holds on.
It's a thing here. Come off the crossbar.
Beautiful one to Doughty. Good control. Doughty in the penalty area. Still with it. Alfie Doughty shoots.
Across goal.
Wide. It's going to be five added minutes. Still got about 10, 20 seconds. I make it. Oshalaja with the throw. Needs someone to come short for it. Throws back to Dylan Phillips. Phillips will look to clear this away long. Towards the edge of the penalty area. It's not a good kick. Oh, it's flicked on by Cameron. Now we saw on the penalty area. Scores! Yes!
Sarr.
Oh, we said one chance, one long ball, and he does it. It's all kicking off there again, just like Luton.
And Labby gives away, he gives away the goal first one. Redeemed himself with a last minute.
It was a flick from Cameron, wasn't it?
It's got to be the end of game, isn't it, surely.
Well, I thought when the ball was thrown back to Dylan Phillips that the referee's going to call it there. But Naby Sarr, what a composed finish on his weaker foot. Some will say he was guilty of giving away the first goal, but believe in this.
Was it his right foot as well, right peg?
I could be wrong, there was a pole in the way.
Oh, that was a bit of ag down there.
So that's it, ref, surely. Backwards to the left to Manning. Manning ball down the line and there is the full-time whistle as Charlton have come from behind twice and fought hard for a point away from home.
Wow. Nathan, you just about kept it together there when that equalising goal went in.
Did he?
Yeah, maybe not.
I thought I was quite calm and collected.
I mean, clearly yeah. that moment, I think that's a moment that we've needed for a while, that we've gone without for too long, really, just to have a full-time whistle where everyone's really pleased because we've just gone and got something. I mean, that really could be the lift that could reignite our season there.
Yeah, I think so. I think we've not really had too much rubber the green recently, and getting a last minute, you know, some people say we might not deserve it, but I think we've stayed in the game for most parts, and the second half and itself, I think we deserve something from it, but I think maybe it will be a catalyst for the season, but obviously with Lecco getting injured now, it's just when you're down to your bare bones and they're putting in a shift, things like that make it even more sweeter. So like every week, they couldn't put any more into it. So when that went in, obviously, just went mental.
Yeah, and Naby's really proven himself as a striker. I mean, it's always been said over the last few seasons that supposedly he's one of the best finishers at the club. And I think we've seen that now. Last couple of weeks, two goals in two games.
Yeah, it was. I had the big pillar in the way, but Greg might have just seen, because I only realised who after it was on his right peg as well. But it's funny, obviously, when they... I think it was Cameron who flicked it on. So he's flicked it on and Naby's gone through and he's put his hand up for offside. And it's like, mate, you've headed it back, mate. But he's finishing. He's always up there. And obviously maybe it's a chance for him to just start up top now with Lyle. We've got Lough defenders.
He might have to. I mean, Ben, we were putting them under pressure towards the end of that game. I think, you know, we saw a few chances for Doughty that we couldn't quite convert. I think Taylor had hit the crossbar as well after we'd fallen behind. So you could say that the pressure was building and that overall I felt that probably be a fair result with the draw.
Yeah, as Nate said in the commentary, we needed that just one chance and we took it. I think the difference between the sides is we made two subs early, one of them forced upon us, and then Purrington come off early. We didn't have anyone to bring on to make a difference. And they brought out Ozai Samuel on and I think Chair, but he changed the game because when it went 1-1, it was all them. They were coming forward and he was the guy that set up for the second goal. So we were relying on making something change, and Boyer did that with putting Naby up top, and there you go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have to say, Naif, you know, it felt great at full time, but I don't think anyone would, you would have got long odds on us to get any form of result after about 25 minutes, because we were 1-0 down early, and that performance in that opening stages of that game was really disappointing. We were just all over the place at the back, and Boyer had to make that change because we were getting overrun and the defenders looked like they'd never met each other before that game.
Yeah, I think the difference between QPR first half and I think us is their fluidity and their movement. We were quite static. We had two banks of four, and they were just sort of picking us off. Amos was coming deep and we couldn't really get anywhere near him. And I think the frustrating thing is, I mean, they've only kept two clean sheets, which is in recent weeks, but then conceded five at Barnsley. And we're thinking, you know, if we put it on their toes a little bit, they might, which they did in the end, they did crumble. Mm. But, and I think, we just didn't really get going. And they were, Narky Wells was getting in space. And down the sides, they were getting in loads of space. And like you say, it looks like we looked really nervous. And we sort of knew we were stretched in terms of ability. Mm. And like Ben said, when Purrington come off, that change needed to happen just so Piercy can come and sort it out a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we're on the back foot straight away, weren't we, Ben, with that goal that we conceded, the free kicks floated over And in what would turn out to be a mirror image is Naby Sarr gifting Jeff Cameron a goal in the opening stages. Now, obviously, I mean, that's the sort of simple mistake that we've been making from set pieces in particular recently, but it's the sort of thing that we have to cut out. And you can see, we'll hear from Naby later on in the show, and he does put his hands up to that mistake, but that's the sort of thing that Lee Bowyer must be tearing his hair out, because you can train the players as much as you want in certain formations or even how to defend set pieces. If they're going to make glaring errors like that, there's not really too much that the manager can do on the sidelines.
Yeah, I think you're right. I did feel a little bit sorry for Naby. It was a good cross in. If Naby doesn't get a foot to it, they're coming in behind and scoring. And he just needed to get a bit more on that clearance, and it's away. But unfortunately, falls straight to them. Good finish, fires it straight in. But as you said, then straight down the other end in the second half, that Cameron makes a mistake.
Mm.
That header could have gone anyway. Spun off the back of his head. Naby's in 2-2. So we needed that rubber to green to happen to us for once.
It was two defences that looked like they've all very much enjoyed a Christmas spirit. Yeah. Been on the Christmas spirits already. I mean, that first 25 minutes as well, like I say, Nate, it was so poor at the back, and Lee knew he had to make the change. Ben Parrington, to him, stood out as the one that needed to be hooked. He'd already given away that back pass to Andy Tanaki Wells, who was bearing down on goal before Dylan made the save. Interesting how that's going to affect Parrington now, because I mean, Lee says he's had a poor few weeks really, and to be so publicly hooked off before half time, when it's clearly a tactical decision. I mean, how the player reacts to that, it's going to be difficult. I mean, we said it the same with Naby, how he reacts to the mistakes he made at Millwall. He's made mistakes over the last few weeks, including yesterday before the goal. So, you know, we hope that will be the thing that sort of brings Naby sort of back to life. But, I mean, Ben's going to have to go through the same sort of thing now.
Yeah, I mean, Ben, you don't become a poor player overnight. Every single player goes through bad patches and golden patches, or whatever you want to call it. And yeah, he's just got to work hard and just keep doing what he's doing. It's lucky that we've got, you know, Alfie's only just played his first senior game at Bromley a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, whatever. He's doing really well, and we've got that option, because I don't know where Page is. I don't know if he's ever going to play again. So we've had to play Purriton in there, and he had that injury at the start of season. Is it that? Is he still playing with a knock? I don't know, but maybe he does need like a game or two out the side, because Alfie's playing well. So, but it's how you come out at the other side of when you come through bad form. It's all well and good when you're having nice rosy periods, but it's how you come out of it the other side.
So I think there was a slight improvement towards half time, Ben, fair to say. Come out, start the second period, get the goal. Nice to see Lyle back in the thick of it after the interesting week he's had. He got the goal. I mean, I think I said this on Thursday. We know there'd been a few comments flying around social media, but I was certain that the support within the ground would be you know, behind Lyle. Again, I wasn't in the away end, so I don't know if there was anything untoward said towards him after the whole incidents on social media this week, but certainly didn't seem to be anyone who had a problem with him when he scored the equalising goal.
No, everyone was singing the last Christmas song to him and that, but I didn't hear any comments from fans saying, get out of the club, Lyle, we don't need you, because we do. And in the second half, he got his head down and took the goal well, because, well, Albie done really well to volley it straight back in there. And instinct reaction from Lyle, I think he did the same at Blackburn away, first game of the season, similar goal, where it's a corner, it's come to him, turn, finish really well. And yeah, I think second half, we came at him. Obviously, Bowyer said to him, let's press them. Press them high and they'll make mistakes. And they did. And the amount of balls that I think we got about 3-4 corners in a row. We just kept playing it over the top to Doughty. And he had the beating of that man every time. And and we made the corner pay for once. We haven't done that for a while.
Yeah. Osai Samuel then came on. Looked bright. That's his first name. Yeah, nice. That's not as bad as Wish Upon a Sar. No. But I mean, he did look lively, didn't he? And I saw Mark Warburton was asked after why he doesn't start, but I think he says you want to be able to bring on a player like that to run at the tiring defences. And he had Jason Pearce. He didn't know which way to turn at that second QPR goal. Got it into the middle when it was a comfortable finish for Pugh. But I mean, that's the sort of thing that you're thinking, here we go again, because Cheltenham had a reasonably bright spell, and all of a sudden QPR are able to bring someone off the bench to change it when, as Ben said, we don't really have those options.
No, we don't. And yeah, he was very bright. I mean, he retired Pearce about 6 times when he fell on. He was crawling at him at one point, I think I remember. But no, being able to bring someone like that on especially when the other team are, you know, they've got a bit of momentum and they're pushing forward, it makes their defence drop that little bit deeper because he's quick, he's skillful, and he proved a real thorn on our side. There was another time when he was in the box doing step overs and no one could get near him. Mm. But yeah, it's a shame we've got someone like that in Lecco, but obviously he's, don't know how bad his injury is going to be.
But it's
a shame, but we'll just have to wait, patch everyone up and see if we can get some replacements or some additions in January.
Yeah, I mean, we've mentioned Alfie Doughty a few times now. Really, we should give him a bit more praise for how he played yesterday. I mean, Lee Bowyer, you could see him at full time when he was saluting the crowd. He was pointing to Alfie saying, make sure you give this young man a clap, because his performance up and down that left-hand side, it was outstanding. Bradley Allen was with us doing the commentary, and I think it would have been one of the first times he got to see him. He said he was quite comfortably Charlton's best player.
Yeah, him and Albie, I think they were the standout players for us yesterday. Albie obviously came on quite early in a different maybe role than he's used to, because stepped into where Lecco's role was. But yeah, I mean, me and you watched him for Bromley against Barnet.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I don't think he really stood out that game. We watched him. So it's amazing the step up from conference level to like playing against top teams in the championship and looking the best player on the pitch.
Yeah, and he had his chances. I think Lee said perhaps there was one where he may even have shot a bit earlier than he did. In the end, he tried to bring it down, and in the end, it got scrambled away. He had that one that he flashed across the face of goal. And when you're going into that 5 minutes of added time, Nath, and funnily enough, the thing I said on our comms was actually QPR are seeing this out quite well, because I think for the first four of those 5 minutes, the ball was pretty much inside our penalty area, and it just took that one chance. And you're thinking it was never going to come. But as we know, these two defences, I mean, they're a bit porous, to say the least, and that ball over the top. And Jeff Cameron's just completely got his header wrong. And you're seeing it. And he had the gall to, after he's flicked it through to Naby Sarr, to put his arm up and appeal for offside as if he doesn't know it's hit his own head. But, I mean, Naby, he's taken that calmly. But the weird thing was, as soon as I saw it fall to Naby, all day long I thought he's going to score this, because I don't know why. I didn't fancy him to miss it, though. I just thought he's going to put this in the back of the net, and he did it. And like those scenes at the full-time whistle, I mean, Jacko running over to the supporters, Naby's immaculate knee slide as well. I mean, those, like I said, I mean, that has to be the lift now, and it has to be the first full time we've come out of a game buzzing. You know, no matter what happened in spells during that game, we've come out of it buzzing, and you just hope that if there's ever going to be a boost, then that's going to be it, as we're going to, I mean, what's going to be a really difficult festive season with the injuries still piling up.
Yeah, I think obviously when you get a last minute equaliser or winner, it does provide a boost, and going into this period now where we're going to have a lot of games in not many days with hardly any players, it might be only marginal, but it could be a huge benefit to the squad. I mean, they all looked buzzing yesterday, and rightly so. But I mean, like I said earlier, I think it's what they deserve, though, sometimes, because the amount, the work rate that they put in going right to the end. I mean, like you say, for the last 5 minutes, QPR were managing the game so well, we couldn't get near him again. Mm. And I think it was only where, it might have been when Deji won, did he win a throw-in down the left-hand side or something? And then literally, yeah, it was just one last go. But there's always something, you know, that you could never write Charlton off at the moment with this squad and this bunch of players, because they'll always keep going to the end. And then I think that shows with the amount of last minute goals we get.
I mean, let's bring in some of the people who weren't at the game yesterday then. So Tom, first of all, so I mean, inside the ground, it was crazy when that last minute. I mean, even I was cheering all over our comms. So I've sort of ruined that a little bit. But I mean, how were you feeling to going into the closing stages? Where were you?
Yeah, I was. This is one for all the listeners. I was in my shower.
Whoa.
So yeah, lucky them, eh? So I took.
You could have pretended.
Yeah. Nah, I was in the shower. I took Greg and Nath with me.
Not for the first time.
And went absolutely mental. Yeah, I was absolutely buzzing. Yeah. So yeah, it was good commentary. Yeah,
do you feel that this could be a turning point for us? I mean, obviously it comes with the fact that we've now lost yet another player to injury in Jonathan Lecco. You know, Johnny Williams and Sandfield, we were hoping would be back this week, but we found out on Thursday that they've suffered further injuries. So obviously, you know, in terms of how the players are feeling, it might be a bit of a lift, but they're still struggling against the backlog of injuries which has held us back so much over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a turning point, because I think the issues are the injuries as opposed to the performances, because I don't think, for as Nath's already said, I think large portions, particularly that first half, we struggled a little bit. So, and there's been other games where we've got results recently where, or got draws, I should say, where performances haven't been that bad. So I don't think necessarily a turning point in that respect is what we're looking for. It's about getting those players back. I think it's important that we didn't lose another one, particularly towards the end, because, again, going back to listening to the commentary, it did sound like we were starting to press and starting to put them under pressure. So I think to come out of there with a point was about deserved. But, yeah, maybe confidence-wise as well, that might be a little boost for them in that respect, because they have seemed down the last few games, and rightly so, because they've been picked off at the last minute for a few games now. So to have the shoe on the other foot and be that team that get that winning, that last minute goal to get a point, I think maybe that could give him a little boost going into the Christmas break.
Yeah, we should bring Martin Ubrey into the show as well. I forgot to mention he's turned up, but he got caught in traffic on the way here, arrived during the highlights. But good to have you, Mark, here for the quiz later on. But I mean, just obviously you weren't at the game yesterday, but to talk in terms of the season as a whole now, you know, as good as it felt at full time yesterday, we're now 11 games without a win. We've still got that healthy 6-point buffer above the relegation zone that can change very quickly over the course of the Christmas period. How are you feeling in terms of how safe we are going into this Christmas period with this buffer? But if you think about the form we're on in terms of results, the fact that things can change quickly over a Christmas period where we're going, you know, with both hands tied behind our back at the moment.
Well, the thing is that you've got the beauty over Christmas of having sort of like game after game after game. So, you know, you do have the opportunity to turn it around if you can. And the beauty of a last minute equaliser, it does feel like a win. I mean, when it went in, I was at home with my boys and I was just going mad. They're looking, well, you know, why is Papa jumping up and down? And, you know, because it felt like a last minute sort of like a winner, even though it was just a point. But, you know, it's over, like I say, over the last 10 games, you know, you'll take that at the moment, because it could have quite easily been a 2-1 loss. And we're saying we should have, and we're not. We're going, you know what? We're upbeat. We're looking forward to Boxing Day now. So, yeah, we're going to be a few players short again, but, you know, we should be used to that by now. It's happened for most of the season. So, and the players who we've got to come in, you know, there might be one or two surprises on Boxing Day. We don't know.
Probably won't be, though, unfortunately, because that's the case. I mean, we now know, Terry, as well, that we're going to be without Jonathan Lecco, a player who has his fair share of criticism, of course, but I mean, as someone who watches every single game that he plays, I feel like he certainly has a lot to offer. And I was actually looking forward to seeing him operate alongside Taylor and Bond, because, you know, he went into a slightly deeper midfield role yesterday. He's going to be on the wing. And he's got the pace and the trickery to do something for me. We saw the cross he put in for Naby against Hull. So now he's going to be a bigger miss than people realise, I think.
Oh, he's got ability. I don't think anybody should be able to question that. He does go missing occasionally, but then he's only a kid still, generally. And if he was 100% all the time, West Brom wouldn't have let him have it. So, he's not the finished article by any stretch, but he is going to be a miss, no question about him, as the others are. You know, and I'm of the opinion, I don't think it'll change our season necessarily. It's a welcome relief to get that last minute, and makes a nice change, doesn't it? This season, at least. But I think what it hopefully will do, it'll prove to the players that it is possible, you know, to keep grinding out results. And I think that's all we can do at the minute, because of the state of the squad, because of where we are with injuries, and probably budget restraints, because we don't know what's happening outside, is just to stay there, just to stay in touch. We all knew it was going to be a struggle this season. We're going through it now. If we can just stay in touch until either the injuries start getting better, the injury situation gets better, and players start coming back, because we know, we've proved it already in the first quarter of the season, that with the full squad at our advantage, we can beat most of the teams in this division. So just make sure we stay in touch. I mean, it doesn't have to, it can be a scruffy 1-0 like we just did there, nick a point. We can just keep doing that until we're in a position where we can call on the rest of the squad or new players. Then we'll be all right.
We're down to 5 wins and 5 draws now in my little countdown of the results that we need to stay up. So we're getting closer, edging closer to safety. Right, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer in a few seconds' time on this evening's Charlton Live Christmas special. We're also going to hear from Naby Sarr later on in the show, the last-minute goal-scoring hero for the Addicts yesterday. In the second half of the show, we've got our Christmas quiz, my favourite part of the year. Usually, it used to be when I was on the other side of the table, it was my favourite one, because I'd always win it, because I'm so knowledgeable when it comes to Charlton. But I've written a quiz for you this year, and then we're going to have a montage of our favourite parts of the year as well, as well as some of your tweets and emails that have come into studio at charltonlive.co.uk this evening. But first things first, let's have a listen to what Lee Bayer had to say after yesterday's draw. The Addicts boss felt whose side were well worthy of the point that they grabbed in added time.
But I thought that was the least we deserved. I think the amount of chances that we created for the last 20 minutes of the first half, most of the second half, we created a hell of a lot of chances that on another day we should win the game comfortably. So, and then in the end, you have to dig deep, and like I've said many, many times, this group, they will keep going and fighting to the end. And today, we got that reward, because if we'd have lost this game, it would have been another tough one to take for me.
Saw what it meant to the supporters and yourself and the team at full time, even though it isn't that victory that you're after at the moment. It just feels like scoring a goal in that last minute could be the real lift that perhaps you needed around the place recently.
Maybe that bit of change of luck, you know, because there was a lot of things that had a ball fell to Naby there. A couple of things went our way, and they should have probably cleared it. Dylan didn't clip it properly. The defender should have cleared it and ended up going into Naby's path, and Naby's half bounced it into the goal. So, yeah, maybe, hopefully, that's the bit of luck that we needed, and things start going our way now, because of late, there's a lot of things that ain't been going our way.
It's become quite prolific recently. Naby saw a second goal in two games. I mean, for a defender, he does tend to finish quite well.
He's a good finisher, I've said that many times. He's one of the better finishers at the club. Like in the small-sided games that we do, he scores every day. So yeah, he can finish. Defensively, we have to improve, though. Two poor goals again today. Like, we can't keep conceding two goals in a game. But again, we've gone away from home, we've scored two goals and not won the game. We have to be better at that. First goal was poor. Naby's just got to put his foot for it. Just clear your lines. There's no nice way of doing that. Just put your foot for it. And then the second one, the fella tapped it in from 5 yards out, and free shot. Like, it's just, we don't get them chances. You see how many times you get Alfie Doherty in that position today, and then he's whacking it across the box, and then they're clearing it. Don't get tap-ins. We have to start defending better.
You mentioned Alfie there. It was really impressive again from him on that left-hand side.
I thought he was outstanding. He was ill at the start of the week. He was off. Obviously, he missed last weekend's game because he was ill, and he didn't start training until Tuesday or Thursday. So to the energy showed up and down, and everything was positive with him. He was trying to get to the byline, and he got us one as corners at worst. You know, to be fair to him, he should have shot a couple more times. But I think a cross coming the far post, he was 6 yards out, and he's trying to control it to shoot. And then his control got away from him like that. These are chances that, with a bit more experience, these kids learn, and then they score more goals, you know. So, but listen, we've got three kids out there today, and they all done well. Albie obviously had to come on early because of Lecco. So, yeah. But they learn, and hopefully we learn as a group, because that's the most important thing.
Yeah, you mentioned that injury to Lecco early doors. You're thinking, here we go again in terms of Charlton. Can you tell us what the extent of that is? Obviously, it's very early days yet.
Yeah, what the physio just said to me, that it's a knee injury, doesn't look good. So he'll go back home now. And obviously have a scan in a 2-3 days' time. But Christmas coming, so... But yeah, it doesn't look like it's a very, very good injury. Another knee one, you know. So unfortunately, we can't control that. And then the only good thing is that January's coming, and then we need to bring some bodies in. We have to, because these lads, they can't just keep doing what they're doing. They're running through brick walls every flipping week, and they're not. They need some help. That's the reality of it.
We got one back today, of course, in Lyle being able to make his first start, and he got the goal. Sure, Albie would be disappointed, because that looked like it was going in from him, but it was a great finish from Lyle to sort of readjust as the ball came in.
Yeah, good to have Lyle back. The plan was not to play Lyle for 90 minutes, the plan was to play him for an hour, maybe 70 at a push. But then when you, I was hoping that we, because we was on top, I was hoping we was going to nick a goal, then change things around, bring Lyle off. But then they got one against a runner play, I thought, and then Lyle was saying, look, leave me on. And I'm thinking, oh, I can't. Like, if you get injured. But then that's the gamble we had to take. And so thankfully he's come through it, he's okay. put his body on the line for the team, played the 90 minutes, and then the reward is that the team leave with a point.
Can you explain that substitution with Purrington after that, after he came off of Jason Pearce? What was the thinking behind that?
Well, we looked very vulnerable at the back. And either went through the centre of us two or three times, and Ben Purrington didn't have a good start. He obviously put the striker through one on one with the keeper. He had the ball three or four times and kept giving the ball away. He looked nervous. He's looked like that for a little while now, Ben. I thought, you know what, I need to put my captain on. I need Pearce to go on there, sort things out defensively, and that's what he done. And once he done that, then I thought we controlled large parts of the games. I thought we was the better side. I thought we created a lot of chances. So that's part of my job, to make decisions like that. Is it harsh before half time to bring someone off? Of course it is. But my job's to win games and put out the best side I can. And I recognised that that wasn't the case, and then I changed it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pearce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's shot.
Yes!
Oh, it's in! Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
Congratulations, Nicky. We can tell who does the wrapping at your household at Christmas time. I don't do mine. I let my missus does it. He obviously gets bullied and lets his missus... He does it.
Welcome back to Charlton Live. I've got a few little Christmas jingles. I've been going through the archives to find some Christmassy stuff. Andrew Crofts there. Hey, absolute Charlton Live legend, Andrew Crofts there. With Nicky and Jose wrapping presents. Must be about 2016, that one. Excellent times, excellent memories, in a way. Right, Lee Barrier, we heard there after yesterday's game. Happy to see the luck perhaps changing, going our way for a change. Yeah, a last-minute goal for the Addicts. And we maybe that is the change in luck we need. I don't know what's going on next door. But about five or six people wearing Santa hats.
There's about 150 of them.
Have all just walked in.
Is this going to be a choir?
I have no idea what's going on next door, but loads of people wearing Santa hats have just walked in. I hope it's not a choir. That could be quite frustrating. We heard Lee there, Terry, talking about hopefully our luck starting to change. Obviously, you know, that is something that we've lacked over the course of the season, it feels like. And maybe it is, you know, a miss, you know, not the cleanest of... it's Kenny from the club shop. He's wearing a Santa hat. What's going on in there?
Is it a tour?
I don't know what's going on. Mate, not the cleanest of connections.
It's so random.
This is the most random thing. Kenny from the club shop's just turned up next door with loads of people wearing Santa hats. I mean, I've seen him dressed up as a few things, Kenny from the club shop.
He was in a Mr. Blobby hat.
Yeah, exactly. Was that him as well?
Yeah, that was him.
That's what he looks like anyway.
Merry Christmas. Those are the thoughts.
They're the thoughts of Louis Mendes, yeah. Not the rest
right,
of the
right, so we were talking about our luck. Our luck has started to change, thankfully.
Not if he is, that is. Well, you got from Lee's point of view. I mean, it must have been soul destroying the last few weeks and months. So it must have at times felt like our luck was never going to change. So you can he's going to grasp this one with both hands, isn't he? He's going to hope that that's a sign that we're just turned the corner.
I mean, Jeff Cameron was kicking himself because all he has to do is get a decent connection on that header. And he puts it away, but it's exactly the same as what happened to Naby Sarr in the opening stages. And like I say, a change of luck. Nathan, you're right, mate.
Don't ask Nathan any questions.
Yeah, that's exactly what. I mean, let's ask Nathan then. So, I mean, Nathan, you obviously, I mean, you were there. You very much enjoyed it. Do you think our luck's about to change?
Yeah, I think it will.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're right.
I'm just trying not to look out that window. That's quite disturbing. It's like I start briefing or something.
No, they're probably looking in here thinking the same.
Yeah. It must be a tour.
Look at the state of that shirt.
It looks like a stadium tour, but it feels like it's quite late on a Sunday evening to be doing that. But they're all, every single one of them's wearing a Santa hat as well.
It must be. It's got to be.
I have absolutely no idea what's going on.
But yeah, I think our luck will change, yeah.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, well, hopefully you'll have some of that luck during the quiz later on this evening. As we end our Charlton Live Christmas Special 2019. Let's have a look at some of the messages that came in yesterday after the draw at QPR. The Wave said that we have to give Naby Sarr an 8 out of 10. Yes, it was a defensive mistake for the goal, but he pushed forward with some good passing and link-up play, and anyone who scores a goal should get an extra point for their performance, but I'm giving him 2 extra points for character after the mistake. So that's from the Wave. Good point there. Spencer says a much better second half performance. Fully deserved a point. We still seem very fragile at the back. On the plus side, Doughty and Morgan were excellent. Good to see Taylor back. Merry Christmas to you all. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you as well, Spencer. Thank you for your kind message. John says have a lovely Christmas and thanks for the coverage. I don't know if you've noticed, but our bad runs usually coincide with Strictly. So thankfully that's over, and no, I can't explain that. Has anyone ever noticed that? Mark, have you ever noticed a pattern? Is there a connection between Strictly Come Dancing and Charlton? Some of the defending yesterday wouldn't have looked out of place on Dancing on Ice, I think. But
I don't know. I mean, going back to Naby, I think for one thing he doesn't do on a pitch is hide. He's made a mistake.
Well, he can't. He's like 6'4".
But he doesn't hide. He still looks for a ball. I mean, I think he's a very good passer as well. Mm. Yeah, it doesn't always make the right choice of pass, but... You know, so he's not a hider, and sometimes, you know, you can make a mistake and it can eat you up on the pitch. And I think that's the trouble that's happened with Purrington. He's had no one to push him on that left. You know, Doughty's there now, but he's, you know, we're right, hasn't had JFC or Page knocking on the door. So, you know, it's going to get him back in a few weeks maybe, but with Naby, he's not a hider. So I'm not surprised that he scored yesterday.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, like, so he's no shrinking violet, and he can't afford to be with the size of him. Right, Sebo says, last Christmas I gave you my heart, and the very next day you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'm giving it to Lee Bowyer. So there we go, change the song there. Tim Jackson, the most awful 20 minutes we've played in ages, followed by one of our best halves of the season. After all the heartache in recent weeks, the celebrations were just incredible. All that frustration let out in one moment. Shout out to Phillips and Doughty, who were brilliant. Yeah, we talked about Alfie, Ben. We ain't really mentioned Dylan enough. After those, some of the saves he made yesterday, obviously the one-on-one he made, save he made against Naki Wells, kept us in it at 0-0, but he made 2 or 3 excellent saves yesterday.
Oh, if that goal goes in for 2-0, I kind of think we're not coming back from it because of what's happened in recent weeks as well. Heads would have gone down, we're 2-0 down, and yeah, a brilliant save, because instead of just rushing out to the man, he waited and waited, and then he just made himself big, and should have just passed it to the guy next to him, and it was 2-0. But yeah, there were a few afters after that with Phillips and Hugel.
There seemed to be a little bit of needle going throughout the game between Phillips and Hugel and Wells, really. I don't know if you had a better view of what the argument was about, but
I think it was a case of Phillips was shouting at him as he went to shoot, shouting, "Don't miss, don't miss, don't miss," like he does when they take the penalties as well. And it worked, so woohoo.
Yeah. Right. Richard Justum says, should we send Field and Lecco back if they are injured? Also, what about Joe Ledley? He must be unfit to have not come on yesterday. So obviously, I mean, Field would have gone back to West Brom for his recovery, but he was supposed to be able to to be on the bench this week until that freak accident that happened last week. And then obviously Jonathan Lecco will go back. That just seems to be the rules. You go back for your to have your injury looked at West Brom. Still haven't seen much from Joe Ledley, Tom. You're our Welsh correspondent, so you, I mean, you were giving him the big one when he joined. I mean, he came on for 45 minutes at Middlesbrough, was particularly disappointing, and we haven't seen him since. I mean, his contract will be running out just after Christmas. So, were you hoping for more?
Yeah, and I think it would be very harsh to just judge him on that Borough performance because that's his first game in a very, very long time. But he's going to need match fitness to get himself up to speed, and he hasn't got a lot of time because his contract's so short. So I'm surprised we haven't seen more of him, particularly given the injuries we've had. But maybe if he impressed in training up till signing, maybe there's something that Boya sees that doesn't quite fit at the moment. I'm not sure, but I am surprised because, as I said on the show, when it looked like we might be signing him, he's someone who's known for his fitness and his work ethic and kind of similar to Prattley in that sense. So he's someone that I would have thought would be quite reliable to be able to bring on when we're struggling with injuries. But clearly, at this point, you'd have to say it hasn't worked out. But I don't know, if Sam Field's injury is long term again, then maybe you extend it for another month or two, depending on what we can do in January. Because I do think there's more that he can give to us. And as I say, I think it would be harsh for fans to just judge him on that Borough performance alone.
Yeah, you hope to see him over Christmas then, because, I mean, bodies-wise, surely we'll need some of that help.
Exactly, yeah, because we have to remember, we keep talking about January, but we've got two or three games before January even comes around. So we're going to need as many people as we can get. And as I say, Field, it's almost certain, isn't going to be playing. Obviously, Lecco's now added to that list. We don't know about Johnny when he's going to be back. I think he said a couple of weeks, didn't he? So you may be thinking Swansea at the earliest. So yeah, we've still got, what, Derby, Bristol, say it. Yeah, so a couple of games coming up where we're going to need everybody. And I personally think Joe Ledley could offer us something.
Excellent stuff. Right, Brian Cole says, evening all, enjoying the show as usual. Cheers, Brian. Says, just wanted to wish everyone at Charlton Live a happy Christmas and hope to see a bumper crowd on Boxing Day at the Valley. Thanks very much, Brian. We wish you a happy Christmas as well. We'll see you back here on Boxing Day. 100% Charlton says the same. Just want to wish you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And let's hope it's a happy takeover New Year. Away support was superb yesterday, and that Phillips 1-1 save was top, top goalkeeping. Yeah, I saw that Matt Southall was at QPR again yesterday, the Kyan Prince Foundation Stadium. And we talked a little bit about it on Thursday. I mean, we've seen a statement came out from Roland on Friday, just trying to ease the process along by the sounds of it, by having a pop.
How to make friends and influence people.
Yeah. do you think that will have the desired effect?
I don't know. You'd hope that they just ignore it. That's the best... the best you can hope for is that they just think, oh, he's off again. Yeah. And then just deal with the takeover in the right way.
We still know it's imperative that it does happen before January, because, I mean, we do need, I mean, Boya says it in his interview today, we do need some help.
I mean, you've got to hope that, or think at least, that, you know, with the fact that, you know, the potential new ownership is around the club now and has been more so than the current owner's been around in the previous five and whatever years, that they must be confident that there's no problem. I mean, apparently it's all about the connection between the proposed takeover and the links to Man City, Man City's owners. They seem confident that there's nothing to do with it. So let's hope, with the fact that they're just in and about the ground and the stadium and the trust as well, that they're confident it's going to go ahead. Whether it goes on, you know, and the timescale we want it to is another issue entirely, of course.
Yeah, we think we were trying to work it out for certain yesterday, but we think Matt Southall has now been to more games than Roland Duchatelet. We think he has.
Difficult thing.
No, not exactly. Not exactly difficult. Well, he's probably been more games than you have this season, Terry. You've been dreadful.
Steady. He's having a pop. Everyone,
just dishing out left, right, and centre this afternoon. I really am in the Christmas mood, aren't I? Right, we had a message in on the Charlton Life message board as well from Mendonca and Asda's. Be busy in there this time of year, wouldn't it? It says, Merry Christmas to the Charlton Life team and all Charlton fans. Let's hope that as we enter a new decade, we finally see the back of the old Scrope. Well, I mean, Terry's welcome to stay as long as he wants, but
someone's definitely nicked his Christmas.
There we go. A couple of emails came in as well. Larry says, you can now get 500-1 quite readily on promotion for Charlton. Charlton. He was talking about it this during the week, wasn't he, on Long Odds? I heard a rumour that Ronaldo may be coming when the takeover is complete. The odds may go down a little then. That's from Larry. He's definitely still backing the addicts to go up at 500 to 1 by the sounds of it. Right, this is from David. Says, I've been a supporter of Charlton for over 60 years. I am a season ticket holder and sit in the family stand. Yesterday, I took my daughter and two grandsons, aged 9 and 12, to the QPR match and had to stand in the away supporters area despite having a seat. Whilst I thoroughly applaud our supporters for their passionate support, they were brilliant at Wembley and always get behind the team. It was a great equaliser in the final seconds for us, which we duly celebrated. I am, however, very disappointed with the constant foul language that many seem to think is required and the goading and gesticulating opposition supporters that goes on. QPR were no better, but I'm really ashamed that my grandsons have to hear this sort of comment and the constant use of swear words from Charlton supporters who I thought were better than that. I'm certainly not a prude, and both my daughter and I both work in jobs where this kind of industrial language is commonplace, but how can we encourage our boys to be good Charlton fans and respectful human beings if we acquiesce to this sort of behaviour? We did challenge some of those around us, and the response was, you should not come to away games and we're entitled to chant. Those comments will probably be challenged and ignored, but as I say, I thought we were better than most and the behaviour spoiled what was a good away point. I would be interested to hear your thoughts. I mean, Ben, I mean, you're someone who's at most away games, in the away ends, you know, I understand where David's coming from when you have young children with you, but it is one of those places where I guess you can't really expect. I mean, I haven't really got a leg to stand on here, because quite clearly in the video that the club put out of the away end support, my fiance and my sister-in-law were right in the thick of it, giving it to the home fans. So I don't know what to say.
I'm one of the first to be jumping up. I turn into a different person. I jump up, shout who I am. Like, wave my hands if it goes wide, but I don't turn to doing explicit signs or shouting and swearing.
There's a level of banter that can be had between the two sets of fans, and I'm sure it probably does cross the line at times. But I guess there's some things that if you're there with young children, you don't want to hear. But, you know, unfortunately, I guess I've been to many a football game. You know, where I've seen behaviour that falls below the expected standard, because I mean I often go to games with Nathan, so
as you heard from the commentary. I think the part of the issue is that back in the day, and the gentleman said he was been sport for 60 years. Back in the day, you used to have two separate sections of away fans. You had the fans that were behind a goal, usually standing up, and then you had a separate section for seats that away fans could buy. And those families who didn't want to sit or stand with the more vociferous sections of the crowd used to sit in those segregated seats, also away from the home fans. Well, with the advent of all-seater stadium, that's changed now, because you can't. They don't do that. They just lump everybody in together. So it means that the agricultural language and obscene gestures that have pretty much always gone on in football grounds.
I think when it's a sellout, it's hard. I mean.
But you don't get that segregation anymore. You can't separate.
But when it's a northern away game where there's loads of seats, I mean, me and Ben know fully well that if we want to go stand at the back and sing, and other people, it's just sort of a little bit of self-policing. People might want to go and sit down the front, and obviously in a sellout, you can't quite do that. And I guess
that's true, of course, absolutely.
But let's not dwell too much on that. Thanks for your email, David. Sarah Saunders says that Louis is full of the Christmas spirit tonight. Yeah, certainly am.
I don't know what's happened.
Yeah, I don't know.
You've
even
driven senders away. Look, they've gone.
So I don't know what's going on next door now. But they've all gone and they've turned the alarm.
Set the alarm as well.
Yeah, they could still just they could just be standing there staring at us through the window and we can't see them. But right, shall we have a listen to what Naby Sarr had to say? After yesterday's game, a villain turned hero, I guess. The mistake he made at the start of the game, gifting the opening goal to QPR, but he made up for it at the very end by scoring the equaliser in the 95th minute. The big defender came to speak to Greg Stubley after the game, and he talks us through that moment where he secured his team a point.
The guy just flicked it in behind. I was just there, so I tried to have a great touch, and then I just finished it, shanked it a bit, but still went in, so I'm happy.
And given the instructions to go up front towards the end, we've seen you do it a couple of times in the past. It's something that's not too new to you, but you've certainly proven the point that you can do that.
Yeah, yeah. Like when you when we're chasing the score, yeah. Sometimes we do this. It's not always the us score at the last minute, but today I done it. So I think everyone is happy about this point.
As the game as a whole was a frantic one, end to end, chances for both teams. Both teams missed really good chances. Yeah. Do you think the draw was the right result in the end?
Yeah, I think they could have won the game first half, and we could have won the game second half. So I think the draw is a fair result, even if we wanted the win, of course, but we'll take a point.
And considering the team's been so unlucky with injuries as well, when you look at youngsters playing such as Albie Morgan and Alfie Dirty, it must give you guys so much credit and praise that you're coming away with wet matches and still fighting towards the end, getting points, even though the club's going through a bit of tricky time with injuries.
Yeah, of course, like you said, the young lads are playing. They're not really used to, but credit to themselves, they're playing really good. Like Alfie was ill the whole week, and he played nearly 90 minutes going up and down the whole game, even Albie. So yeah, they stepped in for the team, helped us, and that's really good. I think it's good to know that we can count on the young lads, even if there is many injuries.
Yeah. And last Friday we were on the end of the two-all scoreline the other way. They got a 95th whatever minute equaliser. Yeah. This time it's the other way round. Yeah. Well, I mean, what's the mood like in the dressing room today?
I think we made it a bit difficult for ourselves, because I think we should have not been in that situation. We should have done better, but it is what it is. It's football, so normally it's us that we concede at the 95 minutes. Today we scored the late one, so I think it's everyone is happy. And it proves that this group just keep going and never give up, so that's good.
I was going to say, it's quite noticeable that the group is still trying to stay tight, still trying to fight through this difficult situation, because it doesn't feel like Cheltenham are winless in this run of form, because some of the performances haven't warranted the results that they've been getting.
Yeah, like so many games we deserve more than losing or just a point. Like last Friday, I think we deserved the win, and we took this last-minute goal, but it's a long season, so we just have to keep going. Now we're coming in a period where there's a lot of game, so we just have to stay focused, to stay on it, and I think I'm sure that things will turn around in our you know what I mean.
Right at the end, you might not have been aware, even when you're in the dressing room, fans are screaming your name. They'll be shouting it all across the capital of around London tonight. Must give you a lot of pride and a lot of confidence going forward for the rest of the season as well.
Yeah, I'm happy, but yeah, especially because the first goal is because of me, because I should have cleared it better. So I'm happy that I scored this goal, and it's always good to score, especially if in front of 2,000, more than 2,000 Charlton fans. So yeah, that was a great feeling.
Charlton Live.
Soapy Show Silver.
My name's Dylan Phillips.
Merry Christmas to ya. Merry Christmas to ya. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that Dylan Phillips' goalkeeping is better than his singing. That was back from about 2014. That's a really old one, that clip. Excellent stuff. Right, Nabby there. Good to hear him put his hands up. For the goal, Mark, the mistake he made. Good to know that, you know, he's willing to admit that mistake, and he was really pleased to come out and sort of let himself off the hook, I guess, with that goal right at the very end.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, he's a measure of a man. You know, he's getting better from when he first turned up, and I think playing alongside Lockyer and Pearce obviously benefits him as well, you know, using their experience. And I think, it bodes well for us. You know, you keep hold of him, he's on a decent contract. You know, I think he could be a mainstay for a couple of years to come. He is becoming almost like a cult hero now. Mm. you know, he was a cult hero. He was a cult for the wrong reasons.
Mm.
But now, I think most people look at him and say, you know what, there's potential there. Yeah. I mean, he's not a finished article by any means.
I wasn't in the interview yesterday, so I wasn't able to ask perhaps what his thoughts were, Nath, on his contract situation, because obviously he'll be at the end of his deal at the end of the year. He will be on very good money because of the situation in which we signed him. Do you think there'll be a possibility that he could stay beyond this year? I mean, it's so many questions about who the owner's going to be, whether he'd be willing to accept a pay cut to stay. I mean, can you see his time at Charlton going beyond this year?
I think it would all depend on the pay, his pay demands or whatever, because, I mean, obviously we don't know how much exactly he's getting. But if it's taken quite a lot of the budget up, then Bowes might be able to get maybe another two or three players for that sort of money. But Greg did mention about, you know, he's obviously 100 appearances now, and, you know, he's enjoying himself and he's improving and he's just liking playing at the moment. He got called up to the Senegal squad, so he's enjoying it at the moment. Whether or not it's beyond this year, I'd like him to, but I can't see it, because I just think Bo might just go down the route of getting other players using that money. But unless maybe take the pay cut, I don't know how much he's on, but we'll just have to wait and see. But I agree with Mark. There's something in there. There's something about him. I think technically he offers us something different, something that Lockie definitely doesn't have, and Piercy. So, but there is a mistake in him. But I just think he's a bit of a rough, a rough diamond, so to speak.
Mm, excellent stuff. Right, Clive Richardson says, agree to an extent, RE, the language at away games, and do not like standing all game, but sadly that's the way it is now. Some chants are quite amusing, like yesterday, F the EFL, and we only get bad refs. 64 years a fan, and still going strong. Right, I'm going to have another break, because I want to set up the rest of the show. We're going to have our Christmas quiz now. It's time to celebrate the festive season with a quiz, the only way you can celebrate these things, really. Right, let's have a quick break. We'll be back here in 30 seconds.
Swing this ball in again, looking towards the far post. Sol with the header. Sol! Come
on!
Matty Sol! At the back post. And Charlton have their second. Just a little thin corner to the back post. Roos totally misjudged it. And Naby Sarr had an open goal.
Hi, I'm Cedric Avina.
Hi, Randy Pritchard.
We would like to wish all the Charlton fans a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Go on, Andy!
So there we go. Right, welcome back. It's Christmas quiz time. Oh, wrong one. Here on Charlton Live. Yeah. So every year we try and do a quiz. Party Games is the name of the game, isn't it? At Christmas. So I've got five chaps in front of me. I'll split you down the middle. Mark, you're on Terry and Benji's team. We're going to have Tom and Nath on the other side. So what we need, first of all, before we go into what is a 10-question quiz... No, hey, come on, we've already had emails about those gestures on tonight's show. There's going to be there's questions, and they include audio questions as well, which I'm looking forward to doing you. But before we start, we're going to need team names. So, right, team Tom and Nath, what have you come up with in the end? What was your team name?
The only one we can say on air is Dragon and Nighthawk.
Dragon and Nighthawk, that is just bizarre. the best thing about that is it's really Christmassy, and also on my left hand side, Terry, Ben or Mark, you've got to come up with something. Make sure you get up to the mic.
It's got to be Benji's Boys, isn't it?
Benji's Boys, yeah. I've heard about them. Right, okay, so we need to find out. So I've got two sets of questions on the quiz. I've tried to make them as equal as possible in terms of difficulty. But we're gonna do a heads or tails to see which team goes into which column for the question. So Nath, call it in the air, please.
Heads.
Heads. Right, it's tails. So, Terry, do you want to go first or second?
First.
Right. Okay. So Benji's boys are going first, and the dragon and nighthawk. What's the? What I mean? What is the? What? Where has that come from, Tom?
No, we had
part local Chinese, yeah. Part stepbrothers.
All right, okay.
That's called the Dragon and Phoenix, but we want to call it Dragon and Phoenix. Right.
Make sure you stay within range of the mics, okay? Right, okay. So
stage names.
Okay, so first up, it's Benji's boys. Question number 1 of 10. Oh, I need to show you what the buzzers are, don't I? Yeah. For if you get it correct or incorrect. So, obviously, with the year we've had, there was only one day where the buzzers could come out from. So. If you get a question wrong, I'm sure you can guess what's coming next. Yeah. But if you get a question wrong, it's this.
No!
Nabi Sarr back pass on the go there. And if you get a question right, it could only ever be this.
We've done it, Tom!
although there is a special one. There is a special one. Because if Nathan specifically gets a question right, he's getting this.
German beauty!
Because of the surname. There we go. That's how easily pleased I am. Right,
most
so.
I didn't realise I was actually thinking of Nathan when I said it.
I think of him a lot. Right, first question is to Benji's boys then. You can confer. The questions won't get passed over. We'll play it all the way to the end, even if one of you like falls well behind, because I spent ages writing these questions.
We're doing it anyway.
Yeah. Right, so question number one for Benji's boys. And I like to think they're reasonably easy, but you know, sometimes we get caught out. Question number one.
No pressure.
Who was the first opposition player to score against us this season? League games only. Who was the first opposition player to score against us this season?
Oh,
all right. I mean,
you scored for Blackburn.
All right.
It wasn't Dak. It was
first opposition player to score against us this season.
He didn't score for 16 years before.
Right. So, are you gonna?
Who's Danny Graham play for?
Yep. Going for that.
Danny Graham. Is he play for Blackburn?
Yeah.
Right. So.
Danny Graham.
No!
I'm afraid you're bang wrong. Dylan Phillips scored an own goal that game. So the first opposition player to score against us was Tom Ince for Stoke in the 3-1 defeat here at the Valley. Right, over to Dragon and Nighthawk.
That's just an easy one.
Yeah, it's easy for me. Right, over to Dragon and Nighthawk. This one probably is a lot easier. Who got our first assist this season?
Scored.
Johnny Williams.
We've done it, Tom.
Correct. So, Dragon and Nighthawk take an early lead. There we go. Right, back to Benji's boys. Over on my left-hand side, Christmas Quiz 2019. Which game did we get our first league clean sheet of the season? I can see it's going well. So, league game in which we got our first clean sheet of the season.
Going with Brentford.
You're going with?
Brentford.
We've done it, Tom!
Correct! Excellent. The 1-0 win over Brentford was our first clean sheet of the season. Back to Dragon and Nighthawk, currently 1-0. which was the first league game in which we failed to score this season? League game. League game where we got nil. First one. Come on, Dragon. Come on, Nighthawk. Which one of you is it going to be?
He's Dragon, I'm Nighthawk.
He's right. Right, come on. We're going to have to rush you.
Just guess a team. I can't think.
Ooh. What was the score against Forest?
We won.
1-0.
It was 1-0. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Oh, come on.
No,
you're running out of time. Got 5 seconds. Five, four.
Swansea.
Three.
What, the first Welsh team that came in.
Yeah, incorrect, I'm afraid. Birmingham.
Birmingham,
we lost 1-0 at home. That was the first time we failed to score this season. Right, we're on to the first audio question. The first questions are goals that Charlton have scored. I will play you a clip of the goal where I've quite cleverly managed to block the name of the goal scorer. I need you to tell me who the goal scorer was and who that goal was against. This first one is for Benji's boys. Listen up.
Oh, it's great work by Bond. Inside one, inside the other. Ball across the box. Oh, yes! He pounced on a slight miscue from Jonathan Lecco. To the six-yard box, pokes it home.
Great work from Macaulay Bond. That goal is all about Macaulay Bond.
So there we go. Mark, you started smiling during that, so I wonder if you've got an idea.
Scored it. Yeah, it's Conor Gallagher.
Yeah, so into the microphone.
Sorry, Conor Gallagher scored it.
And who was it against? You need both. You need both to get the point. Conor Gallagher, who was it against?
No, it was here. It was here.
Might be Leeds.
No, Leeds Bond scored.
5 seconds.
Derby.
No!
Oh, I feel bad, but it was Conor Gallagher against Cardiff. The first goal was a great work on the right-hand side from Macaulay Bond. He got it into the middle. Jonathan Lecco kicked it off his own arse, and it fell to Conor Gallagher, who scores. Right, so let's go to Dragon and Nighthawk, and with your first audio question, tell me who scored this goal and who was it against.
But Charlton can play on here as Kyle has the ball. Over to the left hand side, Kyle finds him, and Bentley's coming out of his goal. Got past him. The charge in! Oh, a goal!
Oh, what a goal!
End to end stuff here! And gets another goal!
So there we go. Nathan, again, you seem to think you knew that one.
No, I'm just trying to think who Bentley, the goalie, is. I think it is Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah.
So who's David?
I was on holiday, but it was so basically.
It's got to be Gallagher or Lecco, because he says another goal.
Or Bon.
No, Bon was the one doing all the work.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
Unless it is. Unless it's
Lecco Wednesday, then.
Yeah.
Lecco Wednesday.
No!
Benji thinks he knows it. Into the mic, Ben.
Bond against Bristol City.
Correct. Yeah, you heard the goalkeeper coming off his line, Bentley. Bond took it round him and scored another goal. It's been an end-to-end game. That was it. Right. Back to Benji's boys. Another normal question. Which player has made the most appearances off the bench in the league so far this season?
Off the bench?
Off the bench. So who's come off the bench? So who's been subbed on the most amount of times? I couldn't explain that anymore.
No, I didn't need that.
Deji's come on a lot lately.
So has Jason Pearce. Off the bench.
Bond come on a lot early doors.
Play along at home, by the way.
Albie's come on quite a few times.
Probably do better than the guys in the studio.
Yeah, wouldn't be difficult, would it?
At the start, who's come on? I'd say Bond come on.
Bond was at the start, but how long's Lyle?
I'm going to give you another 10 seconds. The player who's made the most appearances off the bench so far this season.
Deji. Oshilaja.
You've gone for Deji Oshilaja, I'm afraid.
No!
Do you guys have a guess for that? No, if you don't, I'm not going to waste your time. It's Chucks and EK. Made 11 appearances off the bench in league games. How about this one for you guys then? Who has been subbed off the most amount of times? This is for Dragon and Nighthawk. So who has been subbed off the pitch the most amount of times?
I know he got a lot at the start. Johnny.
Because
he
Johnny
was partially fit, wasn't he?
Yeah, Johnny.
So he must have got.
When do you want to go for Johnny or Pratt?
I thought you thought Johnny Williams was totally fit, but carry on.
Yeah, I do.
Pratt's played a lot more
Pratt's
games.
Played a lot more games.
Go
yeah.
Go on.
Darren Prattley.
I'm afraid that is another.
No!
That was a big clue. He got subbed off yesterday as well. For the 11th time this season, Jonathan Lecco has been subbed off the most amount of times in league games. Right, we're back.
Easy this quiz, isn't it?
What a scorer this one.
Well, it's currently 1-1 after 4 questions each. Maybe I've made it too hard. I think if you were a real expert like me, you would have got this.
Naby Sarr's shoe size, isn't
it? Yeah. Right, number 5. What is Naby Sarr's shoe? No, what is the earliest goal that we've scored this season? The earliest goal that Charlton has scored this season.
What the time?
No, so just who scored it and who against?
Swansea and Lecco. Or how early did we score against Forest?
I think Swansea's one of the earlier.
Lecco, Swansea.
Into the mic when you're ready.
Swansea and Lecco.
We've done it, Tom.
Correct. Excellent answer in there from Benji's boys. Benji Cloak got that one. Right, quite a clear, obvious question. What's the earliest goal we've conceded this season, Dragon and Nighthawk?
Bloody hell. Do I have to score her as well?
Yeah, I need the scorer.
The scorer for Borough, isn't it?
Yeah. And where's he live?
Yeah. And what's his shoe size?
Who's for Borough?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm trying to think of what it was.
Right, so I know it was a mix-up. Deals. Who plays? Son Belonga.
Incorrect.
I weren't him.
It was George Saville.
Because
that was a really easy question. I'm not giving you the point for not getting the goal scorer, because you should have got that, because former Millwall player, so you should know that.
Oh yeah, I should know that.
Yeah. Right, now we're back onto audio questions. Now this is going to be. Oh, you struggle with the rest of them. This is going to be interesting. Right, so what I've done here is I've taken a clip from a Lee Bowyer post-match interview with myself, and you have to work out what game he's talking about. So this is for Benji's boys. What game is Lee Bowyer talking about here?
Disappointing is an understatement. It's the worst we've played since I've been in charge. First 45 minutes was so bad. We couldn't put three passes together, and to lose the game on two set pieces.
So Terry was nodding along there with one answer, and the end of that's changed it. So Benji thinks he's got it.
Wigan.
Done it, Tom.
Correct. Well done, Benji. We conceded two set pieces.
Little did he know what was coming.
And we were, arguably we've been worse than that since then. But anyway, right, similar question for Dragon and Nighthawk. What game is Lee Bowyer talking about here?
I thought we played well. To be leaving with nothing, I don't think it is a fair result. I thought we was better than them. Obviously conceding early on from a set piece gives them a lift up.
Any ideas, chaps? Into the mic.
I can only stab at something.
Oh, come on, Nath. Enough of that already.
It's got to be away. Yeah. Because he says leaving.
Leaving, early set piece. I'm trying to think. Luton weren't set piece, was it?
West Brom, we get a point.
Get into the microphone, right. Chats, with you conferring.
I'm sorry about that.
You want to change your mind?
Right, come on, 5 seconds.
This is on the West Brom.
No. Drew that.
Oh yeah. Bristol.
Yeah.
Bristol City away.
No!
Absolutely bang wrong. That was Millwall. Benji
should've
again.
Known that
correct.
One.
Right. Right, back on to questions for Benji's boys. The score is 3-1 to Benji's boys, by the way, at the moment, with 4 questions left each. So this player is the player who has featured in a league game, but for the shortest amount of minutes this season. So not people who haven't played any league minutes, who has featured in a league game for the shortest amount of minutes so far this season. Into the microphone.
Nearly kissed, Hal. James Reddins.
No!
Ooh, what?
I'm afraid it is Josh Davison, who's played 16 minutes against West Brom and one other player, I think. I think he's played 3 games, but only adds up to 16 minutes, whereas Vennings had about 45 minutes when I checked it the other day, so it's another question wrong. Right, so on the other side, who behind Dylan Phillips has played the most championship minutes so far this season?
Yeah.
So, because Dylan was too obvious, because he's played every game.
Tom Lockyer.
Done it, Tom.
Correct, Tom Lockyer. He played 1,890 before yesterday. I think he played 90, so add 90 on to 1,890 yesterday. Right, who, Benji's boys, who lead by 3-2 going into the last few minutes here. Don't throw it away, because we've had enough of that recently. Who versus who was our home lowest league attendance this season? So lowest league attendance at home. Who was it against? Again, obviously, we're not counting the Forest Green Cup game.
It'll be whoever brought the lowest, I would guess. So, midweek away game.
So, home.
Home, yeah. Midweek home game against
Swansea. Not in Forest Green.
Swansea brought a few.
So, Huddersfield didn't bring too many, but then Hull didn't bring too many.
I'd go with, if I was between Huddersfield and Hull, I'd go with Hull. But.
Okay, Hull. Yeah,
Hull.
Into the microphone, are you ready?
Hull City.
No!
It's Huddersfield. Well, 13,488 against Huddersfield. I think Hull was, I think, the second lowest when I did check. Right, which away game have we played with the highest overall attendance? So not Charlton fans, but overall, the away game we've played with the highest attendance. And you don't have to name the attendance itself, just the team we played.
How kind of you.
So what's the biggest crowd we played at in front of this season, away from home?
No, not yet. Biggest Brom. West Brom. Millwall. Millwall's, what, 20-odd?
Who was opening day? Blackburn.
Blackburn.
Big stadium. Mm.
Yeah, not, weren't like? Too, there weren't too Ramo in there. I'd probably go West Brom.
Oh, that would have been my thought straight away.
Yeah? Do you want to go? Just live on the edge.
Let's get Nave to do one into the mic for a change, shall
we? West Brom.
Absolute German beauty!
There we go. I just wanted to use that. Well, what a comeback. What a comeback. With two correct answers in the last two questions, it's now 3-3 going into... Oh, don't draw, because I never got around to doing a tiebreak. Right, now we're going to separate the men from the boys. We're into our final audio round. This is the goal against round. So I will play you a clip of a goal that came against Charlton, and you have to tell me who scored it and for what team. All right, so for Benji's boys, here we go.
And now trying to attack. It's a block tackle by... Prattley, but it runs far away to look like a handball, but it's nothing given. Corner of the penalty area. Overlap by leaves space for to take the shot, and it's there.
West Brom was the handball goal.
I want to see it again. Does it look like a hand?
Yeah. So there we go. Yeah, we heard it there. So
West Brom.
With Luton, that happened as well. Ooh. Luton, they handballed it. And Boyer went mad saying that goal shouldn't have counted. And it was Prattley that kind of gave it away. And that geezer scored.
Yes.
So you've got two in your mind. Which one are you going to go
James
for?
James Collins scored for Luton.
No, it was...
Right, so I'm going to rush you into a decision, please, in the next few seconds. So,
Izzy Brown scored for Luton.
So which one are you going for? Which one are you going for?
I'm not... I took it off your last...
Yeah, I'll go Luton, Izzy Brown.
No!
Al Robson Carney for West Bromwich Albion, I'm afraid. So you did have it there. Right, okay. Were you called Dragon and Nighthawk? This is your chance to take the lead with just one point left to play for.
Out to the left it goes to and look to take on Pierce. Chips the ball in. It's a chance. What a save from Dylan Phillips. Is in. Right in the 6-yard box. Gets it out of his feet and just chips it over Phillips.
We thought we'd survived the danger. A superb save from Dylan Phillips in the first place. But you can't leave alone in a 6-yard box.
So there we go. This is a chance to take the lead going into the last round of questions for Dragon and Nighthawk.
Yeah, I remember making the save. Yeah. What kind of kit were they wearing? Give me something, babe.
White. With your, on the other team.
Fulham. Well, Fulham, was it?
How did they score?
Yeah,
Fulham, and then who's you had the long smasher,
Mitrovic at Fulham.
Try that one.
Yeah,
go on then.
No, you do it because we might get the German beauty.
Mitrovic at Fulham.
Get in there, going into the closing stages.
When they said white, I was like, don't say that.
There we go. So. Dragon and Nighthawk are back from the dead. They lead by 4-3 going into the final round of questions. The only problem here is I really don't want a tiebreak because I ain't got one. So it could be a draw, which would be nice for everyone. So final question for Benji's boys. You need this to stay in the game. Who took the throw in the build-up to Naby Sarr's equaliser yesterday?
Oh, I know that one.
Deji.
Oh dear, that's too easy, wasn't it?
Did you just make that one up?
I've made them all up at some point. Right, so it's 4-4, Dragon and Nighthawk, you need this. And I'm going to be honest, this is a horrible question.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Who was the third person on the bundle? Yeah.
What colour were his boots?
That's funny you should say that, Ben. Because this is a 1 in 11 chance, or 1 in 10 chance. Who was the first player to reach Naby Sarr in the pylon after the goal yesterday?
Adam Matthews.
Oh, that's right.
Absolute German!
How did you know that?
Because I was because I just remember
he was commentating on it.
Yeah. Well. Obviously, I was looking at pictures as well.
Well, there you go. Wow, what a quiz that's been. So, having been 3-1 down after six questions, Dragon and Nighthawk, the most Christmassy name you could think of, have come back to win the Charlton Live 2019 Christmas quiz. Congratulations. 5-4. Well done, chaps. Nathan, what are you going to do with the prize money?
Probably just buy loads of jam.
That could have been so much fun. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't wonder where he was going.
No.
Please, you don't know what he's going to do with the jam.
Excellent.
That's what
stuff. Right. Major congratulations then to Tom and Nath. You've won the Christmas quiz. And it's timed that almost perfectly because we've got a montage coming up that lasts about 5 minutes. So we've got 2 minutes to say our goodbyes and to wish you all a Merry Christmas and that. So, yeah, thanks to all of you who've listened throughout 2019. It's been one hell of a year, hasn't it, with the Addicts. This is our last show of 2019. We don't come in over the Christmas break because we have families and stuff. So we'll be back. We'll be back. We'll be back on the Sunday of the FA Cup game against West Bromwich Albion is when we'll be back. So we'll come on straight that evening to talk about all the games that happen over the Christmas period, starting with the home game against Bristol City on Boxing Day, praying that Charlton can pick up a couple of results. Hopefully we'll have a takeover to talk about by the time we come back as well. Right, let's go around the table then. So everyone, make sure you get close to the mics to say goodbye. But Tom, happy Christmas to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone.
I hope it's a good year for the Welsh next year.
So do I.
And Nathan, I hope it's a good year for wherever you're from next year.
The Germans. Yeah, I so too, mate.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to Chef Newbury. Disappointed by the lack of mince pies this year, but
I ate them on the way in. So.
Yeah, that,
That's what I used
to thought so, yeah. And Terry, Merry Christmas to you as well.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy New Year as well.
Have a good one. And Benji as well, our newest member of the Charlton Live team. Have a great one.
Thank you very much. And everyone listening to.
Yeah, and we'll see you all in 2020. So we're going to end with some of our favourite moments of this season so far. I hope you enjoy. I hope you've enjoyed Charlton Live throughout 2019. And from myself, Louis Mendes, have a very Merry Christmas and I hope you have an excellent 2020 as well. We shall see you next year.
Thinks it to the far post. Inside onto his right foot and shoots. Oh, what a goal! Taylor with an unbelievable strike from the edge of the box. Still ball across goal, comes Mendes. And he goes! Get in there! And he opens his account for the Addicts.
Near post to Taylor, little flick.
Surely!
Williams,
ball inside to Gallagher, it's good. Gallagher shooting chance. Gallagher! Yeah! Come on! A whiff chance, first shot, goal. The Addicts take the lead.
He might think about a shot, Jonathan Lecco. He's just gone a little bit wide, gets it back onto his left foot, and he shoots.
Yes!
It's taken a deflection, and he's gone in, and Jonathan Lecco has put the Addicts one. The goalkeeper, Taylor, steps up.
Strikes yeah! And scores! Calm as you like from Lyle Taylor. And Charlton have that second that they've been dying to get.
To take the corner, swings it in. Ooh. He's come towards
Lockett! Yeah! Come on! Tom Lockett! Grabs his first Charlton goal! The perfect corner from Josh Cullen. Tom Lockett, the flick. Kassir couldn't keep it out. And Charlton have the lead.
Forskowski chips it towards the far post. Chris Solly heads it back across. Gallagher with the shot!
Yes!
Gallagher with the goal!
Come on!
A brilliant work move from Prattley. Crosses the ball in. It's a flick from
Charlton back at
what a great run from Williams. Charlton trying to get in above, says McCauley.
Yeah!
What a goal!
What a finish!
That's a superbly worked move by Charlton.
Sol with the header. Sol!
Come on!
Manny Sol!
And the fan chance. Gallagher goes for it.
Oh! What a goal!
Conor Gallagher! That is magnificent! Pass back to Cullen who strikes. What a strike. There's Blotz. Comes to Will Bond with the header.
Yeah!
Bond with the goal! And Charlton equalised.
Josh Cullen. Take this kick. Strides up, shoots.
Yes, come on!
Over the net. Inside
one, inside the other. Ball across the box. Oh, Gallagher wins!
Yes! He pounced on the slight miscue from Gallagher.
Lecco. Ball forward to Lecco. In the box, Lecco and shots.
Yes! Oh, what a goal! A brilliant counter-attack from the Addicts.
Chips it towards the far post. Proudly with the header.
It's yes! Yes! Come on! Darren Bradley!
Lecco. Ball across goal.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.